Merkel Media.
I guess it's time to go back in time.
Are you telling me you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
Time is but a stubborn illusion.
I have a lot of memories of the past.
People are time traveling within themselves.
Time travel is possible.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow his head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush and I touch air. Couldn't breathe and I couldn't move because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Okay, I'll reload it.
Yep. Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to The Confessionals. I'm your host, Tony Merkel. Thank you for being here. If you've had an encounter or a story you'd like to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com. Hit the contact section and you can reach me that way as well. Either works for me, just get a hold of me. And if you want more shows on a weekly basis, just go to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button and become a member today. And you'll get a bonus show every Thursday on the website for members only. So if that interests you, go to theconfessionalspodcast.com and become a member today. Now this week we have a two-part show. We have Amber and Mark coming on the show sharing their story. So let's get to it right now. All right, today we got Mark on the show. Mark, how you doing, man?
How's it going, Tony, brother?
Man, I'm doing good. So, Mark, you got some spooky stories for us? Because I don't show up for stories that aren't spooky.
First of all, before I get into anything, buddy, I'd like to say the show is awesome. Great work. I run heavy equipment for a living, so it helps me get through my day.
That's great, man. So, Mark, you contact me. You're in Canada. And these things that happen to you, it kind of circles around this house, but even before you were born. So from that point, can you draw the picture as to what is going on with this house? Who experienced what? And what have you experienced throughout your life?
Okay, so we'll start at the beginning. First off, I don't know if this has anything to do with anything or if it's irrelevant or what, but my hometown in Newfoundland, pretty much the whole town is built above Indian burial ground. Now, I don't know if that got anything to do with any of this. I just thought I'd mention that.
Yeah, it usually does.
Yeah. So anyway, way back before I was born, my father, his dad built this house with his bare hands, whatever. And like he grew up and a lot of stuff happened to him back then, even way before I was born. So they'd be in the house, he'd be upstairs sleeping, and downstairs they had like a kind of a rec room a little bit with a like a pool table and TV, or probably not TVs, but the pool table and stuff like that, probably projector. But anyway, he used to be upstairs in his room, and like he would hear like people playing pool 3:30 in the morning. Like you'd hear these pool balls going and stuff, like people breaking the triangle and all that stuff like that. And all that kind of stuff went on, little stuff anyway. And then one night, he was upstairs and he come, I don't know, he heard some kind of commotion going down, on to go downstairs. And this was, like I said, between three and four in the morning. And when he went downstairs, all the cupboards were open in the kitchen. And like, if you looked in my grandparents' kitchen, it's like all china cabinets everywhere. So it was like probably 20 different cupboards were open. And when he turned the corner down at the bottom of the steps, there was two wine glasses hovering on the table. And when he turned, they both dropped and they smashed. So actually, two of those stories are probably the only things that I can think of that I remember from him being in the house. But, okay, so we'll go into now, like, when I was born. So, like, when I was born right away, not much stuff happened because we weren't by that house. But around when I was 7 years old, we moved into this big yellow house. It's called, we call them saltbox houses. Anybody here that's from Newfoundland or back east will understand what I'm saying. They're pretty much like a big square house, like very old. And my house was old in particular because it used to be an old train station. And the train tracks got taken out. And when the train tracks got taken out, they changed it into a house. So my parents bought that. And in this house, this is where stuff started happening to me. It might have been a couple months after living there. Like 3:30. Actually, before I keep going, I'm going to say everything that ever happened to me has been between 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock.
Everything that's happened to you happened between 3 and 4. So an hour time span on any given day is when things kick off.
Early in the morning, yes. Like, gotcha. You know, the devil's hour, as they would say. But so anyway, at this house one night, I dealt a lot. I had a very hard time with sleep paralysis. So sleep paralysis was a big deal in my life. Like it affected me a lot, like kind of a torturing thing actually. But so this started in this house. But Tony, it wasn't like how they say sleep paralysis is, like, you know, they say you can't move when you do it. The difference between me, I was able to move a bit. So what would happen is I would be laying down, I'd wake up, or, you know, maybe off and on sleep. And then once 3 o'clock come, somewhere between 3 and 4, all of a sudden I'd be laying there and my whole body would start shaking. And I had no control over it. It would just shake. Almost like, you know, my conscience and my brain knew there was something going on, but me personally, I didn't. So I had no control. Everything would start shaking. And then I would start hearing a loud metallic humming noise in my ears. And it would get so loud that I couldn't move my lower body, but I was able to move my arms and my head a little bit. Almost like gravity was full out on my lower body, but on top it wasn't as bad. And I was able to struggle a little bit. And I would pull the covers over my head because I was only young. And I would stay there and the noise would happen. And then all of a sudden I'd wake up. It'd be morning, you know, which makes no sense. I mean, how do you fall asleep with a big racket like that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to.
So anyway, that went on for a while. So there was one night, my mom, she was sitting in the living room. Now, if I can just paint a picture for you, in this old house that we lived in, if you were to walk across the hallway and you would have to make a total 180 degrees to go up the stairs, there's a doorway on the right and it'd be opened. And if you were sitting in the couch in the living room, you'd be able to see through that doorway and see the stairs going up. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So one night she was reading and she seen this black shadow bolt across the door and then go up the stairs. So, you know, she ran up the stairs coming to check. There was nothing going on. And we were, me and my brother, we had bunk beds. We were laying in bed, obviously. So she didn't wake us up or nothing like that. And she went back downstairs. Later that night when she went to sleep, between 3 and 4 again, she was awakened by screaming. Not loud, but kind of like a struggle type of scream, you know? So she gets out of bed. She starts running toward her bedroom. and she looks in, and there's nothing going on, nothing at all. You know, both of us are in bed, in the bunk beds. Everything looks fine. So in the morning, she asked us if we remembered anything or like what was going on, and we didn't have a clue what she was talking about, right? So, I mean, yeah, that's kind of weird. But, yeah, I don't know. So that's pretty much the stories of Dedos. So I guess now we're going to get into the original house that my parents grew up in. We're going to get back into that house. This is around now where we're going to move, right into there. So we moved back in, from there we moved back into my dad's old house that he grew up in, because my grandmother just passed away, or my grandfather, sorry. He passed away, and what we did was we moved in and we built her an apartment onto the house. So all that happened, we moved in, you know, months went by. This stuff is still happening to me, like the paralysis, the loud noise in the ears, all that stuff, that's still going on. So there was one night, it was happening, and I could feel it coming on. And I'm struggling in the bed, and every time this happened, I'd always used to struggle to try to turn over, because the way I am, I want to see what's going on. You know, there's something happening. So I'm struggling and struggling, and I go to turn over, and when I turn over, I finally break it. I sit up in my bed, and I look, and at the foot of my bed, I see, just imagine if somebody was kneeling on their hands and knees on the end of your bed, and you see the imprints. So that's what I seen. And it backed off a couple of feet, and then it went out my door. The reason I know it went out the door is because I had the door cracked a bit, and I had a flag by the side of the door. And I can remember the flag and everything. It was a power slave flag by Iron Maiden. And when the flag rippled and it went out, the door shut.
Wow.
So yeah, that you know, that was pretty freaky.
Yeah, I'd say so. Could you actually see the handprints, like
yeah,
fingers?
Yeah, you could tell what it was. Like I looked at it, and you could see two knee prints, and you could see, you couldn't, obviously it didn't look like, it wasn't pure fingers, it was down on a sheet, right? But you could tell like the fingers, like the difference between the knees and the fingers, like where the knees were, it was a circle, like a perfect circle almost, and then you could see where the hands were, it was wider, and like, you know, like a handprint more. Yeah, so that was pretty crazy. I don't know. I never ever thought much about it, to be honest with you. I always chalked it up as sleep paralysis, but to my understanding, from actually just listening to your show, I know that you're usually, with actual sleep paralysis, you're not able to move.
Yeah, usually. I mean, or at least most your body.
Yeah, so like I could move. Like this wasn't a thing where I was stuck, paralyzed, anything. Like I was awake. All of these experiences, I was awake and I was conscious and I was able to move. It was like I was fighting a gravity on me. So it's like a force was holding me down, right? Yeah, it's weird, man. That's not even the weirdest thing. That's like, so I don't know, a few months after that, same thing happened. I'm laying in bed, it's 3:30 in the morning, and I don't know, sometime between 3 and 4. And the same thing happens, but I don't got the metallic noise in my ears this time. There's no noise. I'm just, I start shaking, and I'm waiting to hear the noise, and I don't hear it. So I'm like, okay. So anyway, I'm struggling. I can move everything above my waist. I'm struggling, I'm struggling, I'm struggling. And I end up being able to move over, and I can crawl myself off the bed. I literally, like, turn, like I reached down on the floor and I was grabbing onto the bottom of the bed and I'm pulling myself down, and I wasn't fully on the ground, like on the floor, but I was almost there, and all of a sudden everything just lifted and it stopped. But I had no control over nothing. I got out of bed and I stood up. Now, like, I knew what was going on, like I was totally conscious, but it wasn't like I don't know, it's hard to explain. It was like I wasn't aware of nothing. Like, I didn't care what was happening, if that makes sense. So anyway, I just got up and I started walking. Actually, probably the best way to put it is if you were sleepwalking, but you were totally aware that you were sleepwalking. So I walk out and I walk across the hallway. My parents' bedroom's right across the hallway. So I walk over and their door was open and I literally stand in the doorway and I stare into the room for 5 minutes. I'm standing there. And I don't know, like, I don't know why I did it. I was just standing there, right? And then all of a sudden, about 5 minutes pass, I'm just standing there. I wake up in my bed. Okay, so that's not whatever. You know, I was like, okay, that was a dream. That's what I thought. Anyway, an hour later, we get up, we go to breakfast and all that. Well, I'm downstairs at the table eating breakfast with my parents. And my dad looked at me and he said, Mark, he said, I had the craziest dream last night. And I'm like, well, what was it? And he said, I dreamt that I woke up and I looked over at our door and I seen you standing up and there was a big, huge black shadow standing up behind you. So I'm like, I didn't even say anything to him. But I mean, like, I know there's such thing as coincidences, but I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think, Tony?
That doesn't seem like a coincidence to me, man. It seems like your dad thought he was dreaming, but did you ever tell him that you actually were there?
Oh, yeah. Last week I called him to talk to him about all this stuff to make sure I wasn't forgetting anything because I told him I was coming on this show. And like me and him talked and everything like that. And we talked all about it.
Yeah. So, oh, man. Did your dad, mom, anybody else have the level of experiences that you've had in that house?
I wouldn't say, like, me and my dad on that experience, that was probably the biggest. Well, actually, there's a story that comes toward the end that's pretty crazy. But when it comes to seeing something, between me and my dad, that's probably the biggest. There was one time my mom said when she was growing up, but this wasn't even this house. She was going to the washroom and she could see down into her parents' room. The washroom was right on the other side of the hallway and she seen this hand come out and it was waving her to come into the closet. Now that's, that's the only thing I can think of. I don't know if they're not telling me other stuff, but you know, I'm just telling you what I know. And yeah, so.
Well, that's scary. Now that's scary.
Yeah. And you know what? That's not the first time I heard that. I've heard a couple stories of people saying that they've woken up in the night and they see like a hand or some kind of thing guiding them to the closet saying, come here, come here. Yeah. So.
No go.
And like, my parents are skeptics. They don't, you know, so it's not like they want to make stuff up like this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand how that works or how that's possible. You know, if somebody sees what your mom saw, how can she remain a skeptic?
Yeah, well, see, my mom is she's really religious. So everything that happens that's unnatural, she just goes the way of, you know, a good sign from God or something, like, which is fine. That's okay. Which we're going to get into a story like that. Like I told you, the latest thing that I can tell you. Yeah, that'll come into that like perspective. But
okay.
Yeah. So I guess that would be pretty for me, I guess, in that house, I guess. That'd be the last thing for me. Because I moved out. I joined the military not long after that, and I moved out and I moved away. Yeah, so I guess the next story would be, so a couple of winters ago, they're still living in this house, by the way.
To this day?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
They live there. Yeah. So a couple winters ago, a couple Christmases, actually. Actually, I should back up. Back in 2005, my grandmother on my mom's side passed away. So that's my other grandparents. Not the house we're living in, grandparents, but the other side. So she passed away. And anyway, my mom was really broken up about that. And there was some, I'm not sure what the connection was, but there was some kind of connection between her and butterflies. So whenever my mom would see a butterfly come around, she would think that was a sign that her mom was looking over her. So there was a Christmas a couple of years ago where somebody bought my mother. It was a frame with a butterfly amulet inside the frame. So anyway, it was wrapped up underneath the tree. And it wasn't wrapped up. It was just put underneath the tree. And anyway, they went out down to my godfather's house. They went down for the night, you know, Christmas Eve, all that stuff. And they come back and they find that the frame with the amulet is laying on a pillow on the couch where they didn't leave it. And there was nobody in the house. And that's fine, whatever. You know, somebody might have forgotten that they put it there, you know. So they put it back underneath the tree. Then my parents went downstairs, and my brother, they all went downstairs to my grandmother's apartment that we built on that house. They were down there for an hour, hour and a half. They come upstairs again, and the amulet, the little butterfly amulet, is outside of the box, and it's literally laying on the pillow. So they're like, okay. Now they're starting to get a little freaked out, right? But so they put it back again. Next day, when they wake up, they find the frame. It's in the middle of the floor. So my dad, he got fed up. He goes, Francine, that's my mom's name. He says, wrap that up like a present so we can stop this from moving around everywhere. So they wrapped it up. And in the morning, they got up next morning. They couldn't find it nowhere. The little butterfly amulet was out of the frame, and they couldn't find it. So they couldn't find it for a whole week. One morning they get up, they come downstairs. My brother's stocking was right by, there's a fire. If you walk down our stairs from like my parents' stairs, right from the bedrooms and everything, there's a fireplace. So when they walked down the stairs, my mom noticed, she looked into my brother's stocking was all the way close to the stairs. She looked in there. The amulet was placed in my brother's stocking. Yeah.
Wow.
So it moved around for a whole week.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, man.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sitting here scratching my head and having all these things happen and the skepticism that's still there. It seems to me like it's more willful than anything. It's like choosing to be skeptic.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. And that was my point about how she says she's a skeptic, but she can have all this stuff happen to her. And she believes, I'll be honest with you, she believes that it's her mom. But I don't know. But all the stuff that happened to me, you know, there's lots of stories, man, in that house. Like stories of when I lived there still, like, stuff falling off the shelf when I'd be sitting in my room. Like, the whole house is just it was just a whole time of terror for me, because I don't know if it was like that for anybody else. Like, my brother never ever said nothing, but the whole time for me, like, I don't know, I barely got any sleep in that house, because every time I slept, I would have something waking me up, or that paralysis with that loud noise in my ears or something, right? So I don't know. What do you think, Tony?
I don't know what to think, man. I think that there's something to do with that Indian burial ground that hasn't been explored enough in thought.
Yeah, it could be, man. A lot of people in my town, most people are native, right? But most people have native blood in them. They all have their native status. I know for a fact that natives, they don't like stuff being built on their burial grounds and stuff. I know that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who would, right? I mean, if you're dead, you don't want somebody building a house on top of you.
But, like, he didn't know. But, like I said, where the whole land is all native, I mean, who really knows what you're building on top of, right? Like, we have graveyards here that are native graveyards and stuff that we don't touch. But, I mean, if you have that, do you really know where everything is buried? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about centuries of death. You certainly don't know where everything's buried.
No, for sure. 100%. Yeah.
Do you guys have like those Indian burial grounds where it's like, it looks like mounds?
No, nothing like that. It's just literally just like graveyards, unmarked graveyards is mostly what it is there.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So all that stuff.
Man. So with the experiences that you've had, To me, the most terrifying thing would be to see, after being held down by an unseen force, seeing that said unseen force crawling off the bed only by seeing it, meaning the imprints it's leaving on the bed. That's terrifying.
Yeah, it was. It was very terrifying.
How do you even sleep in that room again?
I don't know, man. Honestly, I was young. Like, you know what? I knew I was, honestly, it comes down to this. I knew I was about to join up in the military in a couple of years. I guess I was just trying to act tough, to be honest with you. But I was feared inside, you know?
Yeah.
But I, like, lots of nights too, I don't know, man. When you're that young, how do you look at, I don't know. It's hard to explain. I won't say that I didn't sleep in no fear. Like, I was, it was scary, man. Right. You know, but like I told you, before I started listening to your show, I kind of always chopped all this up to be just kind of a sleep paralysis and whatever. But when I started listening to your show with different episodes, I was thinking to myself, like, okay, maybe it's time for me not to actually think that there might have been something going on here.
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, that's the thing. I think a lot of times people feel like they're alone in their experiences, and that's just not the case. I mean, if you just do the odds of things, there's 7.5 billion people in this world. If you're having some kind of weird paranormal type experience, or just, you know, something that just seems off, chances are somebody else has already experienced something like that. I mean, just the odds game. Yeah. And that's why I'm glad that we have the show, because it allows people to kind of get that through their head, where it's like, yeah, it's okay to have these experiences. I'm not crazy.
Yeah, for sure. And like, my dad had these his whole life, but I mean, we only started talking about this, actually, honestly, when I first started listening to your show a year and a half ago or something. And that's when we started piecing everything together and all that stuff, right? Besides, like, that time he told me, like, he dreamt that somebody was standing behind, the big shadow figure was standing behind me in the doorway, but I didn't tell him what I experienced that night. So, you know, there was no communication afterwards of that. So he really didn't know about that until recently, because I didn't say anything about it, because I didn't want to seem crazy. You know?
Yeah, I understand that. Well, I'll tell you what, man, there's sometimes with these experiences, there's not a whole lot to understand as to why things are happening. But just for me, just my opinion, I think it probably has something to do with just location.
Yeah, for sure. Because when I left, like, I never had nothing crazy happen to me on military bases or anything like that. Like, when I moved away at first, not like I'm not in no more. But actually, recently here now, I've had one or two things happen to me in the last year, ever since my son's been born. So I'm wondering, like, is my son going to go through this too? Like, I don't know if it's something kind of connected to that or what, but there was one thing's actually pretty funny. And the other thing is, pretty creepy. We were in our house now. My wife was out and everything like that. I think my son was probably only 8 or 9 months at the time. He couldn't even walk at this point. Couldn't walk. He was just, you know. So I was home, and, I had to change his diaper. And so I started changing his diaper and everything like that. And actually, it's funny, because my dad was a witness to this, because I was actually talking to him on the phone while I was doing this. And while I'm talking to him on the phone, I'm changing his diaper. You know, I take the diaper off, whatever, blah, blah, blah. When I put the diaper there, when I turn around, everything is clean. Like, it's like somebody did it for me. It's pretty funny. That one's funny, you know? And, like, my dad witnesses too, because I'm talking to him like, whoa, like, what's going on here? You
know? Yeah.
So that one's pretty funny. But then the other thing, we were in my basement, and you know them ball pits that you get for kids, like all them plastic balls and everything?
Yeah, the different colors.
So we were downstairs playing with that, and my son he loves throwing these around, making a huge mess. I'm sure everybody's kid does. So he's throwing these balls around, throwing them around. And he fires one underneath the, it's like a, I don't know how to explain it. I got like a TV unit that got like a taller bottom to it. So there's like a half a foot space underneath. And he fires the ball underneath there. So anyway, about 5 or 6 seconds goes by. And all of a sudden, the ball shoots back out. Right? Now, sure, that could be a coincidence. Okay, the ball could have went under there. It could have came back out, whatever, rolled back out. But, I mean, it shot out like somebody threw it. So, I wouldn't even talk. I wouldn't even think there was something weird about that if I wouldn't experience everything I did in my life, you know?
Right. And I can understand why you feel like this might be, or you're questioning at least, is this something that my son's going to have to go through as well? And, you know, I don't know what you want to hear on that, but it's not uncommon.
Oh, I know. I've heard lots of your shows. I've heard it. I've heard other people say it.
Yeah. I wish it wasn't like that. I wish there was I wish there was a definite answer as to how to stop generational curses, how to stop these things transferring to our children. But there isn't. It happens. And so I, the best I can say is, you know, it's like, do the best you can to identify the situation, either as it's happening or as it's getting ready to happen. And be very open and willing to talk to your child and stuff. If they come to you saying they saw something, you don't want them feeling like they're crazy and they don't have anybody to talk to, you know?
No, 100%. Especially because I experienced that, right? I experienced all this stuff in this house that my parents did, or my dad did when he was young. And, he never told me, never talked about it or nothing like that. And I guess it was kind of my fault, too, because I didn't talk to him about it. So I suppose I can't really blame him for not telling, kind of talking to me, because I didn't tell him it was happening to me until later, you know, because, yeah, so.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I'm obviously in a different situation where I don't think I'm ever going to have to bring up the topic to my child or anything like that. I mean, it's kind of just part of the culture and environment in the house, you know? I mean, yeah. I have a picture that an artist did of me with like a ghoul, alien, Bigfoot, and they're all surrounding me in this picture.
Yeah, the one on your wallpaper there.
Yeah. And so I have that framed in my office, and my son sees it, and he says, "Daddy, that's you." "Yeah, it's me." And he points at the Bigfoot and he says, "Gorilla." I was like, "Yeah, it's a Bigfoot." And then, you know, he sees the other ghouly looking things, the dog man. And, you know, he doesn't scare him.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm just thinking, you know, as he gets older and stuff, it's not really going to have to be like, you know, me finding a way to talk to the kid about the stuff. I think he already, you know, sees enough.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's, there was a, one thing happened to me and my dad not long ago, actually. I don't think this has anything to do with anything that we talked about here, but I'll say it. I'll talk about it anyway. One night I was on the phone with him, and this was only, couldn't have been more than 5 months ago, actually. And we're talking and talking, and all of a sudden I'm on my back porch and I see this big bright light, right? And all of a sudden, the bright light, it just disappeared. It was in the sky. And my phone turns off. Now, I had 80% battery. Phone cuts out. Everything cuts out. So I charge it. The phone charges back up. It's showing 80% battery again. Same thing. But an hour of my log or hour of anything that happened on my phone is totally erased. And it was erased on my dad's phone, too. So
that's interesting.
That's probably the most recent thing that happened to me. And I don't think that really got anything to do with what we talked about today, but it's definitely a weird thing too. It could have been a coincidence. Something might have happened with the phones and everything like that, but I just figured I'd mention it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a coincidence. I mean, that's weird, man. Both you and your dad's phones were erased?
I wish, you know what, I know back when I first sent the email to you, I seen that I could bring a secondary guest on. I asked my dad to come on because he can probably explain a lot of his stories better than I could, right? But he didn't want to come on. He said no. I'm like, okay. But come he's on, pretty Dad. Excited to hear the episode.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, man, I think it's interesting. And all right, let me ask you the traditional question I'll ask people when they tell me such things. Can you account for the time? I mean, is there at all any missing time at all from that experience?
You know what? I couldn't say because I didn't really go. I was sitting outside and I didn't go back in. There might have been, but I can't say I count. I'm not going to say I did because I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to find the reason why both your phones would be wiped, you know?
It was so weird, man. Like, we sent each other pictures, and he's like, me too. And all the logs, even other calls too, they were wiped. Like, there was no record of anything I did on my phone for that whole hour.
So, I mean, what's your gut tell you about that whole thing? I mean, obviously you got to have some kind of opinion on it.
Well, I guess personally, I think somebody didn't, how do I say this? Somebody didn't want to be revealed or something. I don't, like, is that the right way to say it? Like, I don't know.
Okay. So are you thinking ET? Are you thinking governmental? I mean, the government.
I don't know. To be honest with you, maybe it could be extraterrestrial, something like that. Maybe. I mean, what else would it be? You know?
Well, it could be your own government. I mean, honestly, I think our governments, and I know two different countries here, but I mean, I think our governments have technology that we can't even fathom. Yeah. I talked to an older man back, it had to be 2-3 years ago, maybe longer. Probably longer. And he owned a casket shop, and I was delivering some stuff and he owned it. We were talking and he was talking about the 60s, being in the military, this, that, and the other. And he was an engineer back then. And he said, the stuff that you're seeing that our military has today, he said he was part of the groups of people who invented that stuff for the military back then.
Okay.
He said, we've had this for so long. And so I think when it comes to 2020, the technology that they have that they're just not telling us about, shoot, man, I think they got some serious stuff that if we knew about it, we would say that's magic. That's paranormal.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and I didn't really want to get into it, but you talking about that, you know, I enlisted into the military. And I was in for a few years and I got out and I actually have a massive addiction for the army, for the military. I've seen how people that they talk about that whole 20 and back stuff, how like they felt like they were drawn to join the military, you know, and they start getting the memories of everything. Now, I'm not going to say that I think that's what happened because I have no memories of stuff like that. But I mean, is it all a big coincidence, you know? Like, you know, I was drawn there. That happened. This happened. Everything. I don't know if it all goes together or what. I'm not sure.
Well, when you say addiction, what do you mean?
No, it's like, I just feel like, how do I say it? I feel like in my head, it's like, that's what I got to do. That's what I got to do. And ever since I got out, I've thought about it every day that it was like a mistake. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. So what you're saying is it was a strong draw, but you really can't say that it was a paranormal type thing.
No, exactly. I'm just saying, and I'm not gonna say that I think it's all connected. I'm just saying there was a very strong draw to it.
I got you. Yeah, man, it's really interesting stuff. Really interesting stuff. And I'm not sure what to make of the house. I wish your dad would have come on. That would have been fun.
I tried, man. I really did.
It's all good, man. Well, listen, man, I appreciate you coming on and sharing these stories.
Oh, yeah, man. 100%. I appreciate you having me.
Amber, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. So, Amber, you and I communicated, and we were supposed to do this interview last weekend, but we had to reschedule. Thank you for rescheduling. And you're the first person that I can remember, at least, that has emailed the show about anything to do with cattle mutilations. And from what I understand, you actually live in the area, at least general area, of these mutilations happening. You've had other weird kind of crazy experiences in the area as well. Let's start off with the cattle mutilation stuff. What kind of things have you heard about and, you know, maybe experienced? What's going on out there?
Okay, so we have this new guest ranch that was just developed, I want to say about 4 or 5 years ago. And it's up in the Sylvie's Valley, which is probably, I want to say it's about 35, 40 miles from where I live. But anyways, they had 5 of their Angus bulls that were mutilated. So what, and they're out in remote areas. So most of the mutilations that happened on within the last year, there's been, you know, one over by Deschutes County and then one just recently in Gillum County, which is up by Fossil, which was just last month. So the same things are being took in, like whether it's genitals, udders from the cows, their hearts, but there's no blood, no footprints, you know, and to get to some of these remote areas where these cows are being found, they're like 4 hours in by, say, ATV, and there's no tracks from like vehicles or anything. And they're so far out that to have like a veterinarian come out there, they can't get to pull any blood or anything from these cattle. So I just thought it was weird, you know, because they still don't, it's still an ongoing investigation.
Yeah, with these cattle mutilations and stuff, I mean, there's a lot of theories about it and stuff. I think probably the most common popular theory is that there's some kind of alien extraterrestrial. What do you think? I mean, you're kind of in the area. Do people even talk about this commonly or no?
You know, it's been in our local newspaper. It was just in our local newspaper, I want to say, the week ago. You know, they haven't really pointed the finger at aliens. They're not, you know. But one of the, you know, it has happened in the Fossil area. One of the ranchers that just recently had it happen, and it happened in that area like 20 years ago. So it's not something new per se. And there was still, you know, they didn't know what was going on 20 years ago either. So
there was a down period though, right? I mean, there was a period where this wasn't happening. So it seems to be upticking again.
Well, it's really weird because I've lived here 22 years, and just last year is the first time I've ever heard about it. I've heard about it like when I was a kid watching, you know, Unsolved Mysteries and stuff like that, but not locally.
Yeah. I wonder, you know, I would like to see if there is any, things that have typically happened after these mutilations started up, you know, back in the day. And see if the similar things happen now, you know, because there's got to be a correlation, I would think. And, you know, I don't know, you know, some people suggest that this is, you know, the government, you know, practicing their, you know, weapons on the animals, things like that. You know, I don't know, but it's very strange. And you've had strange experiences in this area, right?
Oh, I have. I have seen like weird stuff in the sky, you know. It's like, be looking up the night sky and have, you know, you see the usual satellite and they're just on a straight course of where they're going, but you know, from it's like a star, but it jumps around, you know. We've had been out camping and had something fly over our camp and it was soundless, and there was big lights in the shape of, I'd say, a triangle, and it went really slow and just lit up our whole camp. And we all sit there and looked at it like, what the hell? And, but it didn't have any sound. And then it was gone.
So there was no sound. I'm assuming it moved slow. That's what I'm picturing in my head.
Yeah. It just hovered. It just hovered right above our camp. And this was like, I want to say it was about, 15, 16 years ago. You know, we just all kind of like, well, that was weird, you know, but it was night and it just lit up our camp, and it was above the trees. Cause we, you know, where we live, it's, you know, it's forest. So yeah, it just went really slow, and then pretty soon it was gone. So there's weird stuff. I've had weird stuff happen to me here, you know, and I don't know. I wouldn't, you know, I just, weird stuff happens.
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say so. I mean, the anomaly lights in the sky, I mean, I think they're strange, probably more common than people realize, but strange nonetheless, because we don't know what they are. And, you know, if you want to feel good at night, you probably want to believe it's just some kind of government thing or just something you just...
Even if it's government thing, that doesn't make me feel good. You know, I almost rather have aliens than weird government stuff.
Yeah. But, you know, that's probably, that's a good point. That's a good point. I don't have a whole lot of trust in the government. So. Yeah.
Well, I know one of the write-ups in the newspaper, they thought that, you know, they're trying to grasp at what could be doing this. And they thought that maybe it was, you know, somebody had a blow dart and they thought they had found some feathers, you know, and this tracker, because so one of the ranchers hired a tracker to come in and track to see if they could find any tracks. He couldn't find anything, but he did find these feathers that he thought was maybe somebody or, you know, could have made some blow dart. Because there's no bullet wounds. There's nothing. They don't have any idea how these cows are killed. So there's a, you know, 800 pound animal, 900 pound animal that's being killed. But how? You know, all of a sudden they're just laying there. You know, and the recent one was like it was up on its. It wasn't laying on its side or anything. It was like it was just kind of bent at the knee, like laying on its legs. You know, like it's sitting up. So yeah, it was really weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
And I was going to say, when you hunt something, usually, you know, you lay it on its side after, you know, whether you're going to gut it that during that time or do anything to it, you know, being, you know, I mean, that's, you don't have them sitting up. So yeah, weird.
Yeah, it's weird. And isn't it like Oregon is really kind of well known for these kind of things? It doesn't really happen everywhere, right?
It has happened everywhere. I was looking at it. That has happened all over the United States and other places. So it's something that's, you know, and it's like, seems like for the last 50 years, you know, I was reading that it's been common, you know, like even in, you know, like Texas, I think, and in that region down there. So.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was happening that far out. And so I just thought it was more of a specific, a Pacific Northwest. But if it's going to Texas, then my goodness.
No, yeah, Google. I don't exactly remember how many other states, and how, but it's because I remember seeing it on a show when I was a kid about cattle mutilations, and the same thing. They just take like their, you know, their tongue, their, I don't know why they take their reproductive organs, but they do. And then, you know, like their udders and, you know, anuses and stuff. And sometimes a heart. So it's been different here, you know, in my area at Sylvie's, they only took a certain amount of things, but then up in Fossil, they took a little bit more, you know, where they took even lips and stuff like that. But, you know, there's no footprints or no, and the animal doesn't even thrash around. There's no sign of the animal, you know, thrashing around if some, yeah. You know, they're going to, if somebody's going to, yeah. So I don't know.
You know, if it was man doing this, like say, you know, some kind of top secret government, what would be the reason for it? And the only thing I can think of is cloning or something, like needing animal parts or something. I don't know. It's really weird. I did find that picture that you were referencing about the cow just kind of, it's like it's laying down on its, like it just laid down there and its head's,
right.
Its head's still like up in the air. It's not even resting anywhere.
It is.
It's really
weird. And that's
weird.
The one that was in Fossil. So the other ones, they're all laying on their side. If you view the other photos, they're all mostly laying on their side. And the weird thing is that there's no blood. And some of the cows are drained. I mean, I work for a funeral home, and I know, you know, with us, a person, once we die, that blood settles, you know, gravity takes hold. So, you know, it's really important. Like if somebody gets in a car wreck or if there's a person that we need to pull tox screens on, we have to pull those tox screens. We want to as soon as possible. because that blood coagulates and then just, you know, gravity takes hold. So yeah, they can't even pull, and you know, they don't have, some of them don't have blood or anything in them. So, and I don't, it's so weird, is, you know, things bleed, you know, animals, humans, we bleed. So, you know, whether it's poison, do they poison them?
Yeah, it is really interesting. And I don't know either. This is something that's been going on for a long time, and we don't really have any answers to it. And I think the longer it goes on, the more the alien connection seems to be legit. even more all so right. Now with the government coming out saying, yeah, we have crafts that are made from other outside this earth. When the government's saying that, it's like, okay, well, maybe the aliens are mutilating the cattle too. That's actually ironically the simplest answer.
Right. And that's, I remember, you know, when I was a kid, when I first heard about this, that's what the thing was, you know, was it the conspiracy? Was it the aliens or aliens doing it? You know, kind of like the chupacabra down in Texas and, you know, in New Mexico and New Mexico and stuff, you know? So I don't know. It's weird. I don't see how a person could get out there, because we all leave footprints, you know. I don't see how they're being, you know, are they poisoning them? But why do you need those parts? You know, if I'm going to, I mean, I don't kill cattle, but if I was going to kill cattle, you know, if I needed anything, it'd definitely be the meat, not the undesirable parts. You
know? Yeah. Well, and the thing is, it's a lot of cattle. I mean, why don't we just see a bunch of different random animals having this done to them? Why does it seem to be? I mean, I think that there have been other animals, but I mean, you don't see nearly
like
as much.
Horses,
yeah,
or,
it's,
true.
It's mostly cattle, and it's just, I don't know. It's very interesting.
It is. Makes me want to do a little bit more research. And it's around my area. You know, it's not. You know, it's all these places are very familiar. But what I, you know, like I said, what I find really weird is that if a person, because back to a person, you know, these cattle are so far in, so remote, you know, out there on ranches. I mean, some of these ranchers don't see their cows every day, you know, because they're so spread out during the, you know, when they're out there in the summer and stuff. So, you know, to get a person to get in there that far back, you know, it's, I mean, 4 hours on a dirt road is takes for, that's forever. You know? Yeah. So
yeah. I mean,
to get back in, yeah, they'd have to leave some type of footprints, or they'd have to at least, because they at least have to be in there to see what the cattle do back. I mean, are they watching them? You know, or are they just sneaking? I mean, you can't really sneak up on them. I don't know. I live around cows. So, you know, I couldn't imagine going out there being a person, really.
Yeah, man, it'd be really interesting to catch one of these things on like a trail cam or something doing it. I don't think we ever will, but it just, man, because I don't know. I would love to know what's doing these.
Right. It's the unexplained. Yeah, because I, you know, like I said, it's weird. I know that the ranchers are, you know, they're hiring extra men to be out there, you know, kind of like sheep herders. I mean, because we still have ads in the newspaper here or at our unemployment office for sheep herders. So, you know, but they're having cowboys go out and be out there with these cattle. And also, you know, they always have their rifles with them, you know, so that would be weird. You know, I couldn't imagine. You know, I don't know if anybody's putting up trail cams or not, but, you know, there's a lot of trail cams in this area to be in use. I know that.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if this is the same area or what, but you said that you had gotten coaxed up in the mountainside once and you thought it was somebody, but that person wasn't there, it turns out.
So that incident happened. We were out for a drive. We had something go wrong with the vehicle. And it was in this area up. You go up Fields Creek and then it turns into Murders Creek. Well, we had pulled off alongside the creek and he was just going to fix it, you know, no problem. It'd just be an easy fix, you know. So as I was waiting around, you know, I thought I'd just walk around, and I crossed the road and headed up the hill. And, you know, I was just kind of it was early spring, I want to say. It was still cold out. I had a sweater and stuff, so, like a hoodie sweater on, a bigger sweater. And I was just kind of walking around up there. And of course there's, you know, juniper trees, pine trees, fir trees. So it's in the mountains, bushes and stuff. And I had heard somebody, I thought I heard, it sounded like people talking. And I was like, what? You know, and it was my ex-husband actually that was working on the vehicle, and he was wearing a black Carhartt jacket. And I looked over and I saw he was a bigger man, you know, and I looked over and I was like, what do you, you know, I was like, oh, you know, I thought he was just joking around with me. So I started walking that way, you know, we always would, you know, go for walks and stuff. So I started walking over that way, you know, and I got to where I saw, there was trees and bushes and stuff. And I got to where I saw him and he wasn't there. I was like, well, whatever, you know, and so I just continued walking and heading up. And then pretty soon I heard talking again. It was really weird. And I'm like, what are you doing? And I looked up and through the bushes again on the other side of these trees, I could see this black, you know, like I thought it was this black goat, you know. Don't want to say it was a silhouette. It was just like if somebody was standing on the other side of the bushes, you know, that's what it looked like. And I was like, what are you doing talking to him? I was like, what are you doing? I can see you. I'm like, come on, I'm not going to follow you out. I got pretty far up there, you know, I'm like, I'm not going to follow you all the way up here. And I was getting pissed. I was like, you know, screw it. I'm going back down. You know, I'm not, you know, put me in a jerk. When I got back down there, he was still working on the vehicle. So, you know, and I was totally talking, you know, thought it was him. It was very, very bizarre. I couldn't make out what was being said, but I thought it was him just, you know, messing with me, you know?
Yeah.
And when I got back down there, he was still working on the vehicle. I was like, you know, it was really weird. He couldn't have beat me back down. There's no way. And, you know, it was just, I didn't really say much about it, you know, because he would have thought I was nuts, but yeah.
So what do you think it was?
I want to almost say that I think it could have been Sasquatch or something. Because just recently somebody had mentioned in Murders Creek, which is 15 miles from that place. I always felt weird there too, because we've been there before. Just, you know, I always felt weird in that area. But sorry to change the subject real quick, but just at Murders Creek, about 15 miles away, somebody had seen, five people had seen a Sasquatch come up out of the creek. And they just had talked to, it was on Wes Germer's blog, and I was like, hey, but I think it was Sasquatch. I've been hunting about 40 miles from that area. I'd say about 30 miles as the crow flies, and had some weird experiences of hunting also. So, and that's when I first thought, you know, what the heck? I mean, that's when I was first thinking Bigfoot. Yeah. When everything kind of all come together, you know, there's all these weird stuff that people just blow off. Like, oh, that was weird. You know, could it be this one, you know, thing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, if you're mistaking something out in the woods as a person, and I think you said a black Carhartt coat, you know,
right. And that's what it, you know, it was so weird. And I didn't think of anything. I just thought it was, because I, you know, I believe in paranormal. I believe in ghosts. I seen ghosts when I was a little kid, you know. I remember, you know, I've seen stuff like that. So, you know, I didn't find it too bizarre, but I just, you know, was thought, oh, well, that was weird. You know, of course I went home, straight home, and told my mom. She's like, oh, that's weird. And that's why I call it Trippy Creek, is because weird stuff like that happens there. You know, and that's what I felt like. I was just being coaxed up further and further, you know, because I get to the place where I saw him, which I thought, see, still, you know, thought it was him. And then he'd be up further or over. And it was just, you know, I finally just got pissed and was like, I'm not doing this. But yeah, so there's a bunch of, it's just in this area, there's just a bunch of weird stuff that happens in the John Day Valley. I don't, you know.
Yeah. And one of the things that you mentioned in the email that was strange was, I guess do you work for, what do you call it? Search and rescue?
Well, no, I work for the funeral home. So
I got you.
Yeah. So I do any type of recoveries. If anybody passes away in Grant County, I get called in and I go and pick up the body. So, I know what you're referring to. That gentleman was, he went to go on an all night hike. It was January, February. It was cold still. Well, he had froze to death. They looked for him for 2 days, and it was up there in that Fields Creek, up there where Chirpy Creek, in that area. And he walked, the strange thing is he walked in circles up there, and all he had to do was just go head straight back down. You can, you know, you can either go up, because the valley is so big that you can, you know your way back down. But search and rescue, yeah, he just walked in circles, and then, you know, they finally found him frozen. But I just don't understand why he didn't head back down instead of walking in circles.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, that kind of has a missing 411 vibe to it.
Right? Really weird. Yeah. Yeah. And that happened in the Fields Creek area, the same area that, you know, happened when I, you know, where I was. And he even took public transportation to get up there.
He took public transportation up there to walk around in circles.
Well, that's his thing. He was going to go on and over. We have a lot of people, men, women, they come here, you know, they like to get out there, go camping, go hiking, whether it's winter or whatever. So, that was his plan. He took public transportation to Fields Creek, and then he hiked in there and was going to stay the night and hike back out. He never did. Yeah. And, you know, to hike in there, you know, you just hike back down, you know, you hike up, you hike back down if you want back down to civilization or, you know, to people, to the highway, to farms, to ranches, you know. So I don't know how he got up there and just walked around in circles and ended up frozen when he could have easily went right back down the way he came. So that's real, you know, I find that really, really weird, because if you were to see the terrain of Fields Creek and stuff, it's up or down. Yeah. Yeah, so I thought that was bizarre, because, you know, why would he just walk around in circles up there?
Yeah, and it's like he got disoriented somehow, you know, and just walked around in circles.
Right.
Very, it's scary to think about, because, I mean, you know, he didn't go out there to do that. So what caused him to be so disoriented that he walked around in circles? And
working in my profession, usually when we pull talk screens, I pull the talk screens, but I do not get to see the outcomes of those. So, you know, I don't get to see whether he was under the influence of any type of narcotics or anything like that, you know? So I don't know. And the town's small enough that you pretty much know who, you know who is, you know, the ones that are hooked up in methamphetamine and, you know, those people around here, because the town, I think we only have like less than 1,800 people in the town of John Day.
Yeah, so that's not that many.
No. No, so when somebody does something weird, you know, you'd be like, oh yeah, that person's all messed up or something. That's probably why. But, you know, this individual, I didn't think that he... Yeah. So that was weird. I just thought it was weird because I had just having... You know, stuff happened to me, weird situations up there. And every time I went up to Fields Creek, when I first went up there, I remember I always felt weird there, like almost like somebody's watching you vibe type, you're not alone feeling up there. So, you know, it was a nice place to be, you know, real thick wooded, you know, on one side of, you know, yeah, but you always get that weird feeling up there. So, and then, you know, I guess, well, years ago, the reason why they got the Murders Creek is because there's a bunch of slaughtered Indians up there years and years ago, back in, you know, in settlement times and stuff. So it's kind of, that area's had a weird vibe always, I suppose, if something like that's going to happen. I don't know.
Cursed grounds.
I have no idea. I just think it's weird. I just think that weird stuff happens, and it's, you know, there's no explanation really.
Yeah.
And, you know, to think that actually, if there was a Bigfoot or anything like that, that just, you know, I don't know. That'll just mine. Just everything else that you thought was never real was probably real, you know?
Yeah. There's a lot of strange things out in the woods. And I know, to wrap this email up that you sent, you had mentioned about, I don't know if you were hunting or somebody was hunting and hearing that banshee sound scream. What happened there?
Oh, that was me. That was me. And I was hunting. I was elk hunting. It was, you know, we tracked elk all weekend. That was one of the best draws that I could have drew that year for filling a tag. Pretty excited about that hunt. Usually everybody came home. I mean, it's a successful area unit to hunt most, you know, 8 times out of 10. So I was really excited to get that unit. And, you know, we hunted hard, really hard that 9 days that I was there. I saw maybe 2-3 camps with, you know, with any, you know, with, anything hanging in their camp as per elk. And, so my buddy had dropped me off. I was going to walk into, I had to walk about 2.5 football fields in, 3 football fields in. And I dropped him off at the top, and what he was going to do, he was going to run him down, hunt down to me. And, so I was, as I was following this creek bed in, you know, and there wasn't very many people out there either, you know, so my tracks were the only thing going in the snow, because it was November hunt. So as I was following this creek bed, I all of a sudden heard these puppies. It was like a puppy, you know, I don't know if you have familiar, if you put a puppy in like a kennel or in the bathroom, because you got to go somewhere out, you know, just where it just starts doing that yiping, and you know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Where,
you know, puppies, yeah. So it was, I was like, and I stopped and I was thinking, what the hell is this puppy? Who, you know, I was thinking, who would have dropped, how did this puppy get all the way up here? And it was, the sound I was hearing was coming from down in the creek bed. And once you got down to the creek bed, there was like, it was pretty, you know, really thick with timber, down timber, you know, there was, you know, so you, and it was kind of dark in there, so you couldn't really see. And I was thinking to myself, you know, and I started down there, you know, turned around and got closer and started to walk down there, this, you know, and then I got this weird, everything just kind of smelled, my hair just stood up on my arms, the back of my head. I was like, that's a weird feeling. It's like, no, you know, don't go down there, you know, just don't go down there. And so I turned around and I continued, and I was like headed to my stand, you know, I'm going to got to hike in there anyways, you know, and then I got about 30, 40 feet away from that sound. And I heard this, just, it was like, it went, started really low, like a wing, and then it just got louder and louder and louder, and like it was really weird. It was a weird sound. I'd never heard that sound before, and it was loud. It was so loud. I even asked my hunting buddy when he got back down to me. I was like, "Did you hear that sound?" He's, because you know we were in this like canyon. You know, he was hunting down to me, and he didn't hear it. I don't know how he could not have heard it, because it was that loud to me. And I was, you know, I never hunt with a bullet in my chamber. You know, I always make sure that it's not, you know, my gun's not loaded, you know, and I prepare for the hunt. I, as soon as I heard that, man, I chambered a bullet right then and there. And I was like, what the hell was that? Because, you know, it was like that puppy sound. It was really weird. Like, you know, I was like, oh, a puppy, you know, why is it up here? I was concerned. And then I just got that freaky feeling that that's, you know, don't go down there. And yeah, and then I was like, it was so loud. It was weird. It was the weirdest sound I've ever heard. And, you know, and my friend, he hikes that area, horn hunts and stuff. And I asked him, you know, after we're sitting in camp, I was like, have you ever seen anything weird up here? And he's like, what are you talking about? He just thought I was, yeah, he was like, have another beer, Amber. And, you know, we weren't even drinking. He just looked at me weird. He's like, what are you talking about? Like Bigfoot? And I'm like, well, I don't know. And he, you know, he just basically thought I was an idiot. He was like, no, there's no freaking thing, you know, no Bigfoot. But I was like, I don't know. And that's what got me thinking about all these other times was then. And this happened like in 2017. That's when I started, you know, because I was like, yeah, Bigfoot, you know, whatever. But that was when I started thinking about, well, what about this? You know, everything just kind of came together, you know, these other things.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be chambering a bullet too. So.
Right. Well, and you know, it was just me. So, you know, and I still had to hike in about, another football field in length, you know, along this creek. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. Yeah. So, but you know, I just, even walking back, you know, I just kind of, because I had to walk, we had to walk right back past there. And there was nothing. There was no puppy sound. There was nothing. And there's no footprints, no other footprints. But I didn't go down in the trees either.
Well, yeah, that's a little freaky. That's a little freaky. A little distracting from the hunt.
Right? And then even, so we're sitting back at our trailer that, you know, through that whole time we were there, I always had like, you know, at night, it just was creepy. Like there was, you know, like something watching you from the out. You know, when you look out your window and it's dark out there, you just got that eerie feeling. What if somebody's looking back type of thing? But even up there, that's how I felt.
There's a lot of weird things that happened out there in your area. I mean, I don't know if it's... No, I mean, logging's pretty popular out there. I mean, I know here in Pennsylvania, they chopped the trees down 200 years ago. So everything that we have is like new growth. And considered new growth in the grand scheme of time. And I think that that plays a role into people's experiences. But there's a lot of old forests out where you're at, a lot.
There is. And that's, you know, there's a lot of old timber. There's a lot of old places, you know, like not to say like historical spots, you know, where weird stuff has happened, you know. We even have, I mean, at our cemetery, we have where the whores and that's what they called them on the little sign that you read. This is where the whores and the horse thieves are buried, you know? So we're way back here. We're like, what are the way they call it over here? Our legislature calls us, we have a certain name because we're so far out, like rural, you know, they call it the frontier. They call it Frontier Oregon.
Jeez.
Right.
Sounds like a place you don't have 911.
Oh, we do. We have some data. We have, you know, we have state, city, and county in our little town for police. And, you know, and they all do a pretty damn good job. They're not, you know, they're all nice guys.
Well, so. It's easy to do a good job with a small population.
So. Right? With that many police officers also. Because like I said, we have state, city, and the sheriff department also.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, Amber, thanks for sharing these stories with me.
Yeah, I'm really thanks for having me. It was just some bizarre stuff, and I'm interested to see what this other, you know, since there's others that are talking about Murders Creek and, you know, what comes to play in that, and also the cow mutilations.
Well, that's the show, everybody. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did enjoy it, please share the show with your friends. I don't care where or how you share the show. Just share the show if you freaking enjoyed it, because that's the best thing you could do to help me grow this show. Just share it with your friends, family. I don't care. Text it to everybody in your contacts. I'm good with that kind of action. And if you haven't done so yet, please subscribe to the YouTube channel, The Confessionals, and also check out Hammer Lane Legends. It's the podcast I do with my dad, Hammer Lane Legends. You can find it on any podcast playing app and on YouTube. So go check that out as well. And until next week, friends, stay safe, take care, and remember, the truth will set you free, but first it'll piss you off. Bye.
Fantastic. I'm just feeling probably like you. I'm just drifting, probably right beside you. All the abyss, control from afar. What did we miss? Now we're left with the scars.
We love the lows, but hate the highs.
Here's the other side of the sun.
With all this glow, it's hard to hide.
It's bright.
We love the lows, but hate the highs.
Here's the other side of the sun.
With all this dark, it's hard to find.
Everybody wanna preach a happy median. I see they dopamine fix come from media. Now your spirit getting booked on Expedia. Soul searching like Long Island Medium. I should've been taught. Sleepwalk through life, but being woke is an insult.
They should have been caught. They want to flood it in fear by drowning us on the asphalt. We love the lows but hate the highs.
Here's the other side of the sun.
With all this glow, it's hard to hide.
It's bright.
We love the lows but hate the highs.
Here's the other side of the sun.
With all this dark, it's hard to find.
It's bright. It's bright.
Masking from elites, goddess attaching what is free. Now we're rationing our needs for our souls.
Yeah. We're not fasting from belief. A spell of sharpies right the streets. Looting liabilities like it's gold.
Atomic number 79. Gucci, Prada, Jordan High. Sniff that line, it's on the house till your soul.
The ones that keep us locked for the felony time. Or the ones that fund the dollars for the BLM sign. Y'all ain't really doing what y'all supposed to. Y'all just follow suit like the rest do. Oh, yeah.
We love the lows but hate the highs.
Here's the other side of the sun.
With all this glow, it's hard to hide.
It's bright, it's bright.
We love the lows but hate the highs.
Here's the other side of the sun.
With all this dark, it's hard to find.